An alle Aufsichtspersonen, verteilen Sie jetzt die Aufgabenbogen für den Prüfungsteil Hörverstehen. Die Prüfung beginnt in 2 Minuten. An die Kandidatinnen und Kandidaten, beschriften Sie jetzt das Deckblatt des Aufgabenbogens Hörverstehen. Achtung! Lesen Sie die Aufgaben erst, wenn der englische Text beginnt. Kaufmännische Berufsmatura 2018, Englisch, Serie C. Sie können jetzt zur ersten Aufgabe gehen. This part of the examination consists of 3 different listening comprehension tasks. There will be pauses before and after each task to give you time to read the questions and to check your answers. You will hear each task twice. In the first part of the test, you will hear part of a radio program in which someone is talking about the Choir of the Year competition. As you listen, fill in the gaps 1 to 10 in the notes below. In some gaps, more than one word is necessary for a complete answer. You now have 90 seconds in which to look at task 1. Ready?
Good morning. My name is Kathy Lyle. As the competition manager for the Choir of the Year competition, I'm pleased to tell you a bit more about this biennial competition for choirs and groups of singers. It first took place in 1984, and they've been running it every second year since then. There are actually 4 different titles to be won. There's a title for each category, and we've got 3 categories, youth choirs, where the majority of the members are aged 16 or below, mixed voice choirs, whose members may have soprano, bass, tenor, any kind of voice. And then we've got the third category, which is a single voice category, either for men's or women's voices. Then we have the champion of champions. One choir out of the three will be choir of the year. The closing date is the 22nd of January, so there's still time to get an application in. You don't need to send in a recording or anything like that, just an application form. We then check if the choir meets our requirements, the main one being that we do not admit any professional singers, only amateurs. Provided the choir meets our requirements, we'll then give them an audition, a chance to show what they can do. In the audition period that runs from March to May, we go all over the country, and obviously our primary concern is finding top quality choral music. We'll be touring the country from March onwards, auditioning the choirs that have applied and narrowing it down to 8 choirs in each category for the televised finals at the end of May. For anyone who's worried about TV coverage, that only comes in from the semi-final stage of the competition onwards. All that happens is the choirs go out and do their stuff, and the cameramen move silently and smoothly around them, getting the best shots. And really, it adds a little to the occasion, but it doesn't tend to put people off. In fact, it usually helps them perform better. As for prizes, each of the category-winning choirs will receive a very nice, specially made music stand. So every time they look at the conductor in future, they'll be reminded of their success in the competition. In addition to that, the overall winner will receive a further £1,000 with which to buy new equipment for the choir. So there's quite a lot to sing for, and something new for the choir in the future as well.
Now listen again and check your answers. Ready?
Good morning. My name is Kathy Lyle. As the competition manager for the Choir of the Year competition, I'm pleased to tell you a bit more about this biennial competition for choirs and groups of singers. It first took place in 1984, and they've been running it every second year since then. There are actually 4 different titles to be won. There's a title for each category, and we've got 3 categories. Youth choirs, where the majority of the members are aged 16 or below. Mixed voice choirs, whose members may have soprano, bass, tenor, any kind of voice. And then we've got the third category, which is a single voice category, either for men's or women's voices. Then we have the champion of champions. One choir out of the three will be choir of the year. The closing date is the 22nd of January, so there's still time to get an application in. You don't need to send in a recording or anything like that, just an application form. We then check if the choir meets our requirements, the main one being that we do not admit any professional singers, only amateurs. Provided the choir meets our requirements, we'll then give them an audition, a chance to show what they can do. In the audition period that runs from March to May, we go all over the country, and obviously our primary concern is finding top quality choral music. We'll be touring the country from March onwards, auditioning the choirs that have applied and narrowing it down to 8 choirs in each category for the televised finals at the end of May. For anyone who's worried about TV coverage, that only comes in from the semi-final stage of the competition onwards. All that happens is the choirs go out and do their stuff, and the cameramen move silently and smoothly around them, getting the best shots. And really, it adds a little to the occasion, but it doesn't tend to put people off. In fact, it usually helps them perform better. As for prizes, each of the category-winning choirs will receive a very nice, specially made music stand. So every time they look at the conductor in future, they'll be reminded of their success in the competition. In addition to that, the overall winner will receive a further £1,000 with which to buy new equipment for the choir. So there's quite a lot to sing for, and something new for the choir in the future as well.
This is the end of task 1. You now have 30 seconds to check your answers. Now turn to task two. In the second part of the test, you will hear an interview with a driving instructor about his job. For questions 1 to 10, mark the best answer, A, B, or C. You now have 90 seconds in which to look at task 2. Ready?
We've invited Jeffrey Roberts, a driving instructor with over 20 years' experience, to talk to us about learning to drive. Well, Jeffrey, I suppose you must find your job frustrating at times.
Not at all. I enjoy it most of the time, but of course, you do get the odd, difficult customer. Most people are very impatient to pass the test as quickly as possible in order to keep their expenditure down.
Would you say it's expensive to learn to drive these days, then?
Well, it depends on several things. If you come to a private instructor like me, it's probably going to be a bit less expensive than going to one of the big schools. The thing is, people have usually heard of the big schools and trust their reputation, whereas I tend to rely more on personal recommendations. So, when I started, I had to try hard to get customers. But now I'm often fully booked as my prices are quite competitive.
Learning to drive is usually regarded as a rather nerve-wracking experience for the learner. What do you think?
Well, it can be. But I try to get my clients to unwind before the lesson. I ask them to sit quietly in the driver's seat for a few moments with their eyes closed. You'd be surprised how it changes some people. They feel much more ready to drive if they've had a few quiet moments.
Yes, I suppose some people are more nervous than others. What would you say makes people most nervous?
Hard to say. I think it's mostly the fear of not being able to react fast enough. At first, they're trying to master the controls of the car. Then they start worrying about whether they're in the right part of the road and whether they have signaled in time and so on. Usually, people master the controls fairly quickly. But they have to think more about what they're doing. And, until it feels almost automatic, they still make silly mistakes which occasionally lead to accidents.
So how soon can you let a pupil take total control of the car?
It differs from one person to another, of course, but generally speaking, I allow them to drive without dual control when I'm certain they can use the gears correctly, stop in an emergency, and have reasonable awareness of other road users.
What kind of person makes a good driver, then?
You're asking me to commit myself here, aren't you? Well, first of all, let me say I have no evidence to suggest that either men or women are better drivers. What I would say, though, is that a certain level of confidence is necessary, a belief that you can and will succeed. But it is also dangerous to be overconfident, and you can end up making wrong decisions. I'm afraid some young people are over-enthusiastic and start by driving too fast and taking risks. Now I have to warn them that this approach is not going to make them into a good driver. What I like to see is someone who is prepared to take time and patience to develop the skill.
Do you think intelligence has anything to do with it?
It depends if you mean academic ability or practical good sense. I'd say that practical good sense, alertness, and confidence are more important. But you also need a reasonable memory, as you have to get through the part of the test where you recognize signs and symbols. And, of course, you need to know them when you're a driver out there on your own.
Yes, and with the volume of cars on the road today, quick reactions are essential too.
That's right. Driving is getting more demanding all the time, so we must make sure people learn efficiently in the first place and give them value for money.
Well, I'm sure Jeffrey's pupils are getting value for money. Thank you for talking to us, Jeffrey, and good luck to all you listeners who are about to take your driving test.
Now listen again and check your answers. Ready?
We've invited Jeffrey Roberts, a driving instructor with over 20 years' experience, to talk to us about learning to drive. Well, Jeffrey, I suppose you must find your job frustrating at times.
Not at all. I enjoy it most of the time, but of course, you do get the odd difficult customer. Most people are very impatient to pass the test as quickly as possible in order to keep their expenditure down.
Would you say it's expensive to learn to drive these days, then?
Well, it depends on several things. If you come to a private instructor like me, it's probably going to be a bit less expensive than going to one of the big schools. The thing is, people have usually heard of the big schools and trust their reputation, whereas I tend to rely more on personal recommendations. So, when I started, I had to try hard to get customers, but now I'm often fully booked as my prices are quite competitive.
Learning to drive is usually regarded as a rather nerve-wracking experience for the learner. What do you think?
Well, it can be. But I try to get my clients to unwind before the lesson. I ask them to sit quietly in the driver's seat for a few moments with their eyes closed. You'd be surprised how it changes some people. They feel much more ready to drive if they've had a few quiet moments.
Yes, I suppose some people are more nervous than others. What would you say makes people most nervous?
Hard to say. I think it's mostly the fear of not being able to react fast enough. At first, they're trying to master the controls of the car. Then they start worrying about whether they're in the right part of the road and whether they have signaled in time and so on. Usually, people master the controls fairly quickly, but they have to think more about what they're doing. And until it feels almost automatic, they still make silly mistakes which occasionally lead to accidents.
So how soon can you let a pupil take total control of the car?
It differs from one person to another, of course, but generally speaking, I allow them to drive without dual control when I'm certain they can use the gears correctly, stop in an emergency, and have reasonable awareness of other road users.
What kind of person makes a good driver then?
You're asking me to commit myself here, aren't you? Well, first of all, let me say I have no evidence to suggest that either men or women are better drivers. What I would say, though, is that a certain level of confidence is necessary, a belief that you can and will succeed. But it is also dangerous to be overconfident, and you can end up making wrong decisions. I'm afraid some young people are over-enthusiastic and start by driving too fast and taking risks. Now I have to warn them that this approach is not going to make them into a good driver. What I like to see is someone who is prepared to take time and patience to develop the skill.
Do you think intelligence has anything to do with it?
It depends if you mean academic ability or practical good sense. I'd say that practical good sense, alertness, and confidence are more important. But you also need a reasonable memory, as you have to get through the part of the test where you recognize signs and symbols. And, of course, you need to know them when you're a driver out there on your own.
Yes, and with the volume of cars on the road today, quick reactions are essential too.
That's right. Driving is getting more demanding all the time, so we must make sure people learn efficiently in the first place and give them value for money.
Well, I'm sure Jeffrey's pupils are getting value for money. Thank you for talking to us, Jeffrey, and good luck to all you listeners who are about to take your driving test.
This is the end of task 2. Now turn to task 3. In the third part of the test, you will hear a woman talking about the best ways to get financial support for a new business. For questions 1 to 5, decide whether the statements are true or false. Correct the false ones using up to 5 key words. You now have 30 seconds in which to look at task 3. Ready?
My name's Jessica Martin, and I run my own company. I'm here to explain to you a bit about Nova Assist and what they may be able to do for your company. As you know, it's not easy to persuade someone to give you £1 million, but it's not impossible either. 2 years ago, when my business was only a few months old, I decided it needed to expand rapidly. I'd been surviving on cash handouts from friends and family ever since deciding I wanted to go into business 6 years ago, when I was studying financial planning at university. I already understood that it wasn't much good going to see my bank manager for the sort of money I needed, and it wasn't possible to ask my family for that sort of money either. As part of my course, I had heard about Nova Assist, and I knew they would be my best bet. These groups of wealthy individuals get a stake in a new company in return for an unsecured cash injection. I also hadn't had much experience in management, and I wanted to be able to benefit from their experience, which is part of the deal. My family, on the other hand, were rather worried because they hadn't heard of them and thought I should go to someone with a good reputation. It was hard work to reassure them, I can tell you. Competition for investment from Nova Assist is very stiff, but I gave it all I could. I spent 6 months preparing the bid, which involved doing everything from market surveys to stress tests. I had to keep the business running while putting a great deal of energy into preparing the all-important business plan. It's the quality of this which really decides whether you get the funds or not. Then, last year I was invited to an open day, where I had to answer questions about my business. That was really stressful. Much more than any exam I had to take at university. But it all paid off. I was offered £1.1 million worth of funds, and two of their investors came onto the board. It was more than I could have ever hoped for. The cash has allowed me to achieve my goals fast. I've already decided I'm going to open another shop next year. And in the meantime, I'm planning a new range of products based on the results of the advertising campaign I started as soon as I received the cash. It's all very exciting. So, I'm very grateful to Nova Assist for giving me the chance, but I'm also aware that I was in a good position to offer them an investment opportunity, even though I am a new company. It didn't matter that I was lacking expertise in some areas. That's been put right by having their two representatives on board. Of course, they're going to have a share of the profits when the time comes, but that is what you have to accept as part of the deal.
Now listen again and check your answers. Ready?
My name's Jessica Martin, and I run my own company. I'm here to explain to you a bit about Nova Assist and what they may be able to do for your company. As you know, it's not easy to persuade someone to give you £1 million. But it's not impossible either. 2 years ago, when my business was only a few months old, I decided it needed to expand rapidly. I'd been surviving on cash handouts from friends and family ever since deciding I wanted to go into business 6 years ago, when I was studying financial planning at university. I already understood that it wasn't much good going to see my bank manager for the sort of money I needed. And it wasn't possible to ask my family for that sort of money either. As part of my course, I had heard about Nova Assist, and I knew they would be my best bet. These groups of wealthy individuals get a stake in a new company in return for an unsecured cash injection. I also hadn't had much experience in management, and I wanted to be able to benefit from their experience, which is part of the deal. My family, on the other hand, were rather worried because they hadn't heard of them and thought I should go to someone with a good reputation. It was hard work to reassure them, I can tell you. Competition for investment from Nova Assist is very stiff, but I gave it all I could. I spent 6 months preparing the bid, which involved doing everything from market surveys to stress tests. I had to keep the business running while putting a great deal of energy into preparing the all-important business plan. It's the quality of this which really decides whether you get the funds or not. Then, last year I was invited to an open day, where I had to answer questions about my business. That was really stressful. Much more than any exam I had to take at university. But it all paid off. I was offered £1.1 million worth of funds, and two of their investors came onto the board. It was more than I could have ever hoped for. The cash has allowed me to achieve my goals fast. I've already decided I'm going to open another shop next year. And in the meantime, I'm planning a new range of products based on the results of the advertising campaign I started as soon as I received the cash. It's all very exciting. So, I'm very grateful to Nova Assist for giving me the chance, but I'm also aware that I was in a good position to offer them an investment opportunity, even though I am a new company. It didn't matter that I was lacking expertise in some areas. That's been put right by having their two representatives on board. Of course, they're going to have a share of the profits when the time comes, but that is what you have to accept as part of the deal.
This is the end of task three. You now have 2 minutes to check your answers. This is the end of the listening comprehension test. Stop writing and hand in your papers.